Okay, now we're going to switch over to the central leg of the Bring Them Home Now tour, and we'll be speaking here. We are speaking with Hart Vigis, who's Iraq Veterans Against the War, and in somewhere in the Midwest. He'll tell us where he is. Good morning, Hart.
Good morning, Scott. We are in Indianapolis.
Okay, you're still in Indianapolis. All right.
Yes, we're still in Indianapolis. We'll be leaving today off to Cincinnati. But yesterday we had a great day. We were in Bloomington at the independent bookstore and had an excellent press conference with the local press and I believe NBC. Everyone spoke great, telling, you know, what was really going on over there. And they were pretty receptive. I mean, the whole press here in Indianapolis has been pretty receptive. Especially when we came back to Indianapolis and had a night vigil honoring all the 51 Hoosiers that gave their lives in this war. Vigils are never really easy for me.
No.
It's the guys that weren't as lucky as me, and sometimes I just it's kind of a weird way to think of it. Sometimes I think the dead are the lucky ones sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that that's what apparently is part of the a part of all of this, that there are the survivors and there are those that don't survive, and then sometimes it's probably really difficult to tell who are the survivors. You know, it's you know, we talked yesterday, I think that was yesterday, about the impacts on you on a kind of a emotional level, and we also talked about how that's, unfortunately, it's, I think it gets more attention now because of the all the stuff around post-traumatic stress syndrome and all that. You know, now they have a label they can put on it, but it's still something that I think is mostly hidden. People just don't want to even hear about or deal with the impact that putting a person in harm's way like that, and the things that you're asked to do just to survive, or I don't. To me, that's inhumane. Some people say it's human to do this, but I think it's inhumane to put another human being.
It is unnatural to have another human being kill another human being. There is major mental programming that has to go on to rewire somebody to be able to do that without feeling bad. And the Army has never been able to totally reprogram somebody so they could kill someone.
Right.
You just look at the humanless pieces of flesh that run around, that they kill at will and has no effect on them whatsoever.
Right.
No, we lock them up and put them in jail.
Right, I think they call them sociopaths or psychopaths or a combination. I don't. Yeah, right, and that is a very interesting. It's troubling thing. That's. I think you're right. They're basically trying to program the soldier to be able to kill at will, and then unfortunately, there's obviously different levels of success at that, and then these guys that do survive physically have to come home and deal with that, kind of how they've been rewired, I guess, to use the same metaphor. It's, So, it was a tough day because of the memorial. And how are you doing in general? Are you holding up pretty well?
I'm doing pretty good. I've got a frog in my throat, but I'm drinking someone's mojo here that will fix it. Everyone's been real helpful here. I've been holding up pretty well in the mental sense, I guess. You know, it's just because, you know, just doing this is my medicine. And I was talking with a... I was talking with a Vietnam vet that I've made friends with, Michael Orange, back in North Carolina. We marched there, and I told him about this bus trip, you know, and he said, well, you may need to bring a psychologist on board on these buses that all y'all are going on. And I was like, yeah, you're right, but, you know, we're all pretty much sticking together on this bus. You know, we're getting new people. And I think we just got Bill Mitchell, Gold Star Families for Peace.
Okay.
Chris Stanley from Veterans from Peace. I mean, we're just grabbing all these new people on the road, and that doesn't seem to be messing with the chemistry at all. Some of the original five or six that joined up. I mean, it's just one big family, and we're all supporting each other.
Good. What do you have planned for the rest of the day? Did you say you're going to Cincinnati today?
Oh, yes. Well, first, I'm getting on a car right now to talk to some senators or congressmen. I doubt we're actually going to see the senators or congressmen. We'll probably talk to their aides. We're going to talk to them, which is very important. Got to get, you know, I'm faith-based, but you just got to get political if you want to get anything done, and that's just
right.
That's the two-edged sword. Then after that, we're going to go to one of the biggest war memorials in the country, so they say, here in Indianapolis, and we're going to have a big ceremony out there and send off to Cincinnati from there. But I'm looking forward to it and hope both these events with the senators and the war memorial will generate enough buzz.
Well, let's hope so. And by war memorial, is this a permanent one, or is this something that has been set up like the, you know, the...
This is a permanent one.
Oh.
I have yet to see it, but they talk about it. So I can't wait.
Right. Well, sounds like another emotional day.
Yeah.
Store for you. Yes. Yes.
That's all right. I sleep well at night.
Well, good. Well, that's that is very important.
Yeah.
Because I must admit, at times I have this vision of you all out there and they just being run ragged, you know, and you're like...
Well, it is ragged, but then by the end of the day, you close your eyes and your eyes are shut.
Oh, yes.
And they ain't opening up for a while.
Okay, good. All right, well, I've been asking the other folks today... kind of a sense of what it get, but still have 2.5 weeks before the big mobilization in Washington D.C. where you're all heading. Are you hearing of people that are going to be coming out?
You know, in every town we run into people saying, "I'll see you in Washington." My girlfriend Hannah is going to be flying out.
Right.
From Austin to D.C. It's going to be great. And it's just a beautiful thing, man.
It is. Okay. All right. Well, you sounded kind of mellow this morning, which is, that's a good thing.
Well, I haven't got all started and revved up.
All right.
I just woke up, and asking me to move very fast is not going to happen.
All right. Well, let's just leave it at that. We don't need to get too involved in anything here this morning. And I appreciate the updates on what you have done and what you're going to be doing. And that's basically what we're about, what we want to share with folks. So we're starting some stuff here in Eugene, Oregon, today, a 48-hour vigil. We're calling it Camp David after David W. Johnson, who's an Oregon National Guard member who was killed. And I don't know if you've had a chance to meet Steve or Michelle DeFord yet, but they're Gold Star Families for Peace members that have been incredibly active and inspirational. And so we're going to be doing that with a focus on our U.S. senators to try to get them to take a stand. So,
excellent.
Things are happening everywhere.
Good people in Oregon. Glad to hear.
Thank you, Art. Appreciate that. And we'll try to get a hold of you. I may even start tonight, but certainly tomorrow morning sometime. Okay?
Excellent. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Hart. Have a good day.
All right, you too, man.
Bye.
Bye.